Good evening, everyone. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and this is SCARS, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the SCARS organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and Good Amateur Practice. This SCARS server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System, provided by Whiskey 8 Mike Whiskey, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off this system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short-time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they've checked in. Information regarding our operation may be found on our website, which is www.scarsvoip.com. You have many net controls this evening. I'm merely opening it up. My call is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. My name is Kathleen. I'm located in the city of Port St. Lucie, Florida, where we currently have a temperature of 72 degrees. It was a high of about 76 today, and it was a very, very windy day. But I'm liking it. So prior to starting, I'd like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled at this time. If so, please come aboard. All right, no emergency traffic, and that's always a great thing. How about anyone celebrating a birthday? Maybe last week, this upcoming week, maybe even tonight, they'd like to come aboard so we could say happy, happy. No birthday stations, and like I always say, that means we're not getting any older. Now, this is the monthly Thursday Informational Net Open Forum, or TIN for short. This net is conducted to provide information pursuant to amateur-related subjects and other areas of general interest to those participating. All are encouraged to participate and ask questions of our guest speakers or speaker. Our topic this evening is electromagnetic vortex cannon. So hopefully you'll enjoy it and hopefully you'll ask questions of those guest speakers. But I do want to advise all stations connected that this net will be recorded for future presentation on our website as a podcast. So if you've been talking this evening, you'll be part of that recording. Once again, our program is entitled Electromagnetic Vortex Cannon. And so with that, I'm going to throw it over to you at KY6V so you can begin the program. And everyone, enjoy.
Okay. Thank you, Kathy. Good evening, all. Gordon here, KY6V. And I hope you're all ready for a fascinating subject tonight. Something that has just broken itself into notability. One with great possibilities, I might add, of improving and changing things as we currently see them. As we see things at the moment, these possibilities would make communication faster, storage systems able to store sizably more data, and the horizon full of other possibilities. Our program tonight will open with refresher comments on the definitions of the use of vortex, electromagnetic, and cannon technology. And I'm going to say, sit down for this one. The principle tonight involves you utilizing ultra-wideband, radially polarized, chronically coaxial horn antennas to create a rotating electromagnetic wave structure. How's that for apples? When the energy is pulsed through the antenna, the RF field produces long distance of information at the speed of light. The waveform has become circular and contains a considerably more space to additional for additional information. All I can say is, holy mackerel, Andy, hold on to your hat. We're going to have some fun with this. David, are you ready? GW8SZL. How about you just starting the program and loading the cannon? KY6V, over.
KY6V from GW8SZL. I've got a load of cannonballs at the ready and also cannon fodder to target them at. Oh, this is going to be a great subject for sure. Okay, we will be starting this evening with a brief discussion of how a vortex actually works. Now, in fluid dynamics, a vortex, the plural of that is vortices or vortexes, is a region in a fluid in which the flow revolves around an axis line, which may be straight or curved. Vortices form in stirred fluids and may be observed in smoke rings, whirlpools, in the wake of a boat, and the wind surrounding a tropical cyclone, tornado, or dust devil. Vortices are a major component of turbulent flow. The distribution of velocity, vorticity, which is the curl of the flow velocity, as well as the concept of circulation, are used to characterize vortices. Now, in most vortices, the fluid flow velocity is greatest next to its axis and decreases in inverse proportion to the distance from the axis. In the absence of external forces, viscous friction within the fluid tends to organize the flow into a collection of irrotational vortices, possibly superimposed to larger scale flows, including larger scale vortices. Now, once formed, vortices can move, stretch, twist, and interact in complex ways. A moving vortex carries some angular and linear momentum, energy, and mass with it. Vortices are an important part of turbulent flow. Vortices can otherwise be known as a circular motion of a liquid. In the case of the absence of forces, the liquid will settle. Now, this makes the water stay still instead of moving, of course. But when they are created, vortices can move, stretch, twist, and interact in very complicated ways. Now, when a vortex is moving, sometimes it can affect an angular position. For an example, if a water bucket is rotated or spun constantly, it will rotate around an invisible line called the axis line. This rotation moves around in circles. In this example, the rotation of the bucket creates extra force. The reason that the vortices can change shape is the fact that they have open particle paths. This can create a moving vortex. Now, examples of this fact are the shapes of tornadoes and drain whirlpools. And when two or more vortices are close together, they can merge to make a vortex. Vortices also hold energy in its rotation of the fluid. If the energy is never removed, it will consist of a circular motion forever. Now, one of the other major factors of our discussion tonight is electromagnetic energy. Now, in electromagnetism and electronics, electromotive force, also known as electromotants, abbreviated EMF, is an energy transfer to an electric circuit per unit of electric charge. And this is measured in volts. Now, devices called electrical transducers provides an EMF by converting other forms of energy into electrical energy. Other electrical equipment also produce an EMF, such as batteries, which convert chemical energy, and generators, which convert mechanical energy. Now, this energy conversion is achieved by physical forces applying physical work on electric charges. However, electromagnetic force itself is not a physical force, and ISO/IEC standards have deprecated the term in favor of source voltage or source tension instead. An electronic hydraulic analogy may view EMF as the mechanical work done to water by a pump, which results in a pressure difference, analogous to voltage. In electromagnetic induction, EMF can be defined around a closed loop of a conductor, as the electromagnetic work that would be done on an elementary electric charge, such as an electron, if it travels once around a loop. Now, for two terminal devices modeled as a Venn equivalent circuit, an equivalent EMF can be measured as the open circuit voltage between the two terminals. Now, this EMF can drive an electric current if an external circuit is attached to the terminals, in which case the device becomes the voltage source of that particular circuit. Although an EMF gives rise to a voltage and can be measured as a voltage and may sometimes informally be called a voltage, they are not the same phenomenon. In concluding my section for this evening, allow me to provide some information on cannons. Now, the name cannon gradually came to be applied to every gun fired from a carriage or a fixed mount and with a bore larger than 1 inch. Now, in the 20th century, rapid firing guns of 20 millimeters, and that's 0.8 inches, and larger, mounted in aircraft and firing explosive shells were called automatic cannon. Now, the word cannon is actually derived from the old Italian word cannone. I think I pronounced that one correctly, I hope I did, meaning large tube, which came from the Latin canna, in turn originating from the Greek cava, reed, and then generalized to mean any hollow tube-like object. The word has been used to refer to a gun since 1326 in Italy and 1418 in England. Both of the plural forms cannons and cannon are actually correct. Okay, this is GW8SZL with the South Cars First Information Net. And I'm looking for any check-ins, questions, and or comments, I should say. This is GW8SRL. If you'd like to check in, questions, comments, please call now.
Victor Kilo 2, Delta Yankee.
Kilo 2, Hotel America.
Okay, we've got Robert down there in Sydney. That's VK2DY. And Fred, K2HA, the happy amateur. Is there anybody else? Okay, hearing nobody else at the moment. So we go to Robert there down in Sydney. How you doing, Robert? VK2DY from GW8SZL.
GW8SZL, VK2DY here, Robert, in Kellyville Ridge, New South Wales, where it is just 21 degrees, which is 70 Fahrenheit, and overcast at the moment. It's a rainy spring morning here, but as they say, October rain, spring, November flowers. October showers, spring, November flowers. Anyway, it is what it is. I have a question. Being on the south side of things, you mentioned vortexes, and vortexes, you know, these things go in different directions depending on things. For example, our cyclones will go clockwise, whereas your hurricanes and typhoons will go anti-clockwise. Is there a direction to these vortices that is controllable, or are they all in one direction, or how does that work? VK2DY, back to net.
Yeah, VK2DY from GW8SRL. Nice one there. Yeah, we see the whirlpool, and you know, don't you actually put water in the sink, and it goes the opposite way in the Southern Hemisphere. You quite say it goes clockwise. And anti-clockwise up here in the northern hemisphere. And yeah, you're going into your summer now. We currently got here at the moment, well, it is quarter past midnight here. We're now into early hours of Friday morning. We're at 49 Foxtrot 9.4 Charlie with a clear sky, so it probably might hit about 42 Foxtrot by the morning. Controlling them, I suppose. It depends whether they're actual, you know, sort of air or electromagnetic. But that's an interesting one. Would an actual electromagnetic vortex cannon rotate the different way in the Southern Hemisphere compared to the Northern Hemisphere? I'll have to think about that when they're Robin. I'm not 100% sure, to be honest. But that's a very interesting question there. I'll have to do some research on that one, unless somebody else out there have experienced such things. But would it rotate the other way? Good question. I'd say some more research needed on that one for sure. I'll put it back to you there, Robert. VK2DY from GW8SZL.
GW8SZL, VK2DY. Just came to me because you kept talking about directions. And anyway, I guess being a northern person living in the south here, I notice things go the opposite way. Anyway, thank you so much again. VK2DY, back to net.
Yeah, VK2DY, GW8SZL. No, I won't be sleeping tonight. I'll be thinking about it and pondering over it all night. And, I'll do a little bit of research and see, and I'll drop you an email there, yeah, Robert, because that's made me think now. You know, it probably would. That's a good one. But this is new technology, hot off the press, so kind of thing. So we'd have to look at the particular subject matter in that context. But, yep. Good question, that's for sure. Okay there, Robert, you take care and start enjoying your summer there. Our winter over here, it's getting colder. And thank you so much for calling in, of course. Okay, I'll say 73 to Robert, VK2DY, down there in Sydney in Australia. And now we're going to Fred, the happy amateur. And of course, that is K2HA. Go ahead there, Fred.
Thank you, Dave. Peace and blessings to you and to everybody that's logged in here on the net and everybody who will be listening to the podcast. We pray that you'll have a fantastic day and learn something from this. I'm interested in what's going to be passed on as the different presenters make comments. Canon. So, I'm a pastor, went to many years of seminary, and so the canon in the scripture is the set of books that are the rule of faith, coming from the word Greek word canon, being rule or measuring. And so we talk about the New Testament canon, the set of books, the Old Testament canon. So that's just an aside on the word canon. Let me reset, and I got something to say about the rotation. Okay, going over towards the vortices. So when you eject a vortice, it's like a donut, but a donut that's internally rotating. So if you can imagine a wave coming in out of the ocean and how it rolls on top of itself, well, it's the same thing with a vortice. This round donut, which can be misshapen, is constantly rotating and rotating and rotating and rotating on top of itself. Round and round and round along an axis line. Now, which way it rotates, whether it rotates forward or whether it rotates backwards, I have no idea. And that would be interesting to find out. And in terms of the vertical, whether that affects it either and whether that rotates too. And in another dimension. So, but the donut rotating on itself is you can do this with an air cannon, you can do this with a water cannon, and a magnetic cannon. This is Fred, K2HA.
Yeah, K2HA from GW8SZL. I know a lot about vortices and turbulent flow in pipelines. Working on instrumentation there on the chemical plants and pharmaceutical plants and stuff like that. But of course, that's in a confined space. So a little bit different to what we're discussing this evening. But it's all very interesting stuff, and I'm going to follow this in great detail and see where it actually leads to. Because I say it is brand new. Application for it. We'll be on Subspace and Star Trek soon there, Fred. What do you think of that? K2HA, GW8SZL.
This is Fred, K2HA, on the SCARS conference, the TIN, Thursday Information Network. And it sounds fantastic because, you know, maybe they had one of these voicey type things in the Star Trek replicator that you can tell it to produce some kind of a food or something, or a tool. It's interesting, all what we don't know about the combination of molecules and electrons and how all of this is going to play out, but I'm interested in finding out. Over to you, Dave. This is Craig, K2HA.
Yeah, K2HA from GW8SZL. Yes, indeed, Fred. We don't know where it's going to end up. You know, science fiction becomes science fact and all that kind of good stuff. But yep, I say I'm going to follow it anyway and see where it's going to lead to. That's good to say. I'm very interested in it actually. I never heard of it before until the TIN. But it's grabbed my attention there, Fred, for sure. And thank you for popping in there with your comments. Do you have anything further there at all, Fred? Go ahead.
Well, thank you, Dave. This is Fred, K2HA. Yeah, peace and blessings all. I'm listening and just absorbing what you're presenting. And thank you very much, and we pray everybody will have good health.
K2HA from GW8SZL. Yep, thank you there, Fred, for popping in and with your comments there. All greatly appreciated. Okay, this is Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima. I've now finished my section there for this evening. I will be listening along, of course. And I'm now looking for Greg, and that's Kilo Echo 5 Alpha Lima Foxtrot. You there, Greg, and are you ready to continue on? From GW8SZL. Kilo Echo 5, Alpha Lima Foxtrot, KE5ALF from GW8SZL.
GW8SZL from KE5ALF. Thank you very much for the informed portion that you had. Let me get started with mine. Air cannons produce visible vortex rings by generating rotating air pressure differences. While electromagnetic cannons emit electromagnetic vortex pulses using coaxial horn antennas, the electromagnetic system also demonstrates self-resilient properties and Skyrminian, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, topology, offering a unique potential in high-capacity communication, target detection, and data encoding due to their complex wave dynamics and topology, I'm having a hard time pronouncing these words, features. Vortex rings, a mysterious and fascinating natural phenomenon, display breathtaking structures and behaviors in both air and electromagnetic waves. Imagine an air cannon that can shoot vortex rings, creating a perfect air vortex that travels gracefully through the air as if an invisible hand is stretching an elegant curve in the sky. This vortex phenomenon is not just a specific spectacle of physics, I'm having a hard time here, but a masterpiece of nature. The creation of air vortexes is a captivating blend of sciences and aesthetics. When an air cannon fires, the instantaneous pressure difference causes the air to form a rotating ring structure that propagates steadily throughout the air, showcasing the unique shape and dynamics of the vortex, applying the same principle to electromagnetic waves. We can envision an electromagnetic vortex cannon that directly emits electromagnetic vortex rings. Thanks to the dedicated efforts of researchers, this concept is gradually becoming a reality. Recently, Associate Professor Ren Wang from the University of Electronic Science and Technology of China, Associate Professor Yiji Shen from Nanyang Technological University in Singapore, and their collaborators from the University of Southampton in the UK, proposed a method using coaxial horn antennas to direct emit electromagnetic vortex. They observed the resilient propagation characteristics in Skyrimonian topological structures of these vortex. Their work, entitled Observation of Resilient Propagation in Free Space Skyrimonians and Toroidal Electromagnetic Pulses, has been a featured article in Applied Physics Reviews. These scientists summarized the operational principles of their electromagnetic cannon, saying the principles involved utilize an ultra-wideband, radially polarized conical coaxial horn antennas to create a rotating electromagnetic wave structure. When the antenna emits, it generates an instantaneous pressure difference from forms these vortex rings, which maintain their shape and energy over long distances. The uniqueness of this method lies in their ability to produce electromagnetic pulses, which complex topological features such as Skyrimonians. This showcase remarkable resilience and self-healing properties during propagation. The potential applications of this technology are vast and exciting. In high-capacity communication systems, these vortex pulses could revolutionize how we transmit information to offering efficient and robust methods of data encoding. The unique spectacle and popularization characteristics of the vortex rings allow them to carry more information compared to traditional waves, making them ideal candidates for next generation communication networks. Furthermore, their ability to maintain structural integrity, even in the presence of environmental disturbances, positions them as valuable tools in remote sensing and target detection. By analyzing the unique patterns of these vortex pulses, we can develop more precise and reliable methods for detecting and locating objects, whether in defense systems or space explorations, as scientists say. As we reflect on the implications of our findings, we're particularly excited about how this research could lead to groundbreaking advancements in meteorology and information processing. The spatotemporal inseparability of the vortex pulses provides a foundation for developing new techniques in complex data encoding and high precision measurements. Additionally, the Skyrimon textures embedded within the vortex rings offer intriguing possibilities for the topological data store and processing potentiality, heading to more efficient ways of managing and analyzing large database. Well, I struggled through that one with some of them words, but at this time, let me ask if there's any check-ins or questions before I pass it on to the next narrator. Okay, seeing that, let's pass it on to KO4UMQ. Woody, are you out there, sir? It's your turn.
Well, thanks, Greg, and good evening to everybody. This is Woody, KO4UMQ. I'm glad I didn't get those big old words. we'd never be get done with it. Going to continue on with our discussion about these cannons, this work not only demonstrates the incredible versatility of electromagnetic vortex rings, but also sets the stage for future innovations in wireless technology, creating opportunities to redefine our understanding of electromagnetic phenomena, the scientists add. Vortex rings are pretty cool, and electromagnetism even cooler. Now a team of physicists have found a way to combine the two phenomena, creating the electromagnetic vortex cannon. In fluids, which includes gases, vortex rings can be created thanks to frictional forces as a jet moves through the fluid at high velocities than the surrounding fluid. Vortex cannons can be used to create these instantaneous pressure differences, which result in a vortex ring, though they occur plenty enough in nature too. A velocity gradient forms and causes the inner layers to roll around the outer layers, forming a ring-shaped vortex, a paper on the topic explains. This process acts in tenths of a second, so the ring is emitted impulsively into the air dominion, and due to its own momentum, thermal buoyancy, and the inertia of the rotating fluid, the vortex ring rises upwards in the atmosphere. As the ring ascends, it slows and cools down to a diffusion and heat transfer process with the surrounding air. They are pretty cool to gawp at, but don't get too close if you are, for example, a jellyfish. While fun, it could be used a little, while fun, it could use a little electromagnetism. In 1996, physicists R.W. Hailworth and P. Nucci proposed a solution to Maxwell's equations in which focused donut pulses, or just flying donuts, could be created and propagated through free space. Though interesting, with potential uses in the communication and wireless technology, electromagnetic vortices, or donuts to the hungry, had never been observed until now. And when they were observed, like their non-electromagnetic counterparts, they were surprisingly robust. Here we report that microwave toroidal pulses can be launched by a transient finite aperture broadband horn antenna emitter. As an electromagnetic counterpart of the air vortex cannon, an international team explained in their recent study. Please break for more. Applying this effective generator, we experimentally map the toroidal pulses topological sky romantic textures in free space and demonstrate their resilient propagation dynamics, i.e. how that during propagation the pulses evolve toward stronger space-time, non-separatable and closer proximity to the conical Hailworth-Nucci toroidal pulses. The process through a little more complicated, but the addition of electromagnetism is somewhat similar to creating vortex rings. The principle involves utilizing the ultra-wideband radial polarized conical coaxial horn antennas to create a rotating electromagnetic wave structure, the team explained in a statement. When the antenna emits, it generates an instantaneous pressure difference that forms these vortex rings, which maintain their shape and energy over long distances. The uniqueness of this method lies in its ability to produce electromagnetic pulses with complex topological features such as gyromins that showcase remarkable resilience and self-healing properties during propagation. Let me reset. sometimes things scientists do are just cool for cool sakes with a little obvious application, but not here. The spectro and polarization characteristics of the vortex rings mean that they could be used to carry more information than can be carried by traditional waves, according to the team, potentially making them ideal for the next generation of communication networks, as well as offering new ways to transmit and encode data. Furthermore, this ability to, even in the presence of environmental disturbances, positions them as valuable tools in remote sensing and target detection, the team adds. By analyzing the unique patterns of these vortex pulses, we can develop more precise in sky systems or space exploration. More will surely follow, but for now, rejoice that we finally have the long-awaited electromagnetic vortex cannon. Before I pass it on to Dave, KB9EWG, are there any additional check-ins or questions? If so, please call now.
Well, good evening. King Charles 8, Fox Queen Victor, Mark.
Well, good evening, Mark. You got any comments or a question?
Well, I just remember that it was tonight, but the net, well, always on the third Thursday. Also, there's the club meeting. I didn't get down there. And an email. Yeah, the Aries group had their meeting last night, and I forgot about it. I do that many times. It seems like I remember that there's a meeting. You know, the second week there, the club has a meeting. And I look back and go, oh. So, but no, nothing else. So we'll send it back over to the net control. Watching the Guardians play their game in Cleveland now. So I'll send it back to net, KZFQV.
Well, thanks for joining us this evening, Mark. Glad you could get in here and enjoy watching the game. Any additional stations that would like to check in or may have a question? If so, please call now. Not hearing any others, I'm going to turn it over to Dave, KB9EWG. The mic is yours, sir.
Well, thank you, Woody. Good evening to you and everybody else on the net. KB9EWG here. Okay, there are many mediums for communications like cables, coaxial cables, optical fibers, but nowadays most communications is done by air. The wireless communication antenna plays an important role in both transmitter and receiver. We use radio waves for the wireless communication. The high-power microwave research started in the 1970s. Compact sources allow for the advances in the technologies of power beaming, space propulsion, and high-power radar horns. Antennas have been widely used for space applications from the very beginning due to the capabilities of being the best operation for megahertz to gigahertz to terahertz range. The goal of the system is to maximize power transfer from the source to the radiating system while keeping this system as compact as possible. A compact conical horn antenna has been designed to operate in the KU band, and that produces a forward directional radiation beam with maximum directivity. Horn antennas typically consist of a rectangular or cylindrical metal tube closed at one end and flaring into open end or pyramidal shape on the other end. These techniques in horn antennas have been widely used for space applications from the very beginning due to the capability of being the best operation from megahertz to gigahertz to terahertz, the range here. They can be easily flush mounted on the satellite structure body. It affords a gradual transition structure to match the impedance of the tube to the impedance of free space. Let me reset here. Okay. Enabling the waves from the tube to radiate efficiently into space. Horn antennas is used to transmit radio waves to collect radio waves into the waveguide. Horn antenna consists of a short length of a rectangular or cylindrical metal tube closed at one end, flaring into an open-ended conical or pyramidal shape on the other end. The radio waves are introduced into the waveguide by a coaxial cable attached to the side. Okay, continuing on here. The waves then radiate out of the horn and into a narrow beam. However, in some equipment, the radio waves are conducted between the transmitter or receiver and the antenna by a waveguide. In this case, the horn is just attached to the end of the waveguide. The radiation characteristics of a conical horn are disposed by its dimensions in wavelengths. It has been convenient to normalize all dimensions data in terms of wavelength. Advantages of horn antennas over other type antennas. A, complexity involved in the design of the horn antenna is less as compared to the phased array antenna and corrugated cousins. Feeding a horn antenna is less complex as compared to other antennas, which require complex feeding techniques. High data rate systems need to be operated at a higher frequency range in order to carry out higher bandwidth. This can be easily carried out using a horn antenna. Power handling capabilities of horn antennas is superior to other antennas as its waveguide fed antenna, especially those of TWTs used in satellite radars and many other applications, making it optimized than side lobes can be suppressed to very low levels. Various space programs in which the horn antennas are used by NASA and ESA. Okay, at this time, I'm going to look for any check-ins or anything else before I close it out here. Okay, well, hearing nobody checking in here just brings us to the end of our program or presentation this evening. So thank you for coming. This has been SCARS, VOIP. Net schedules and general information may be found on our website, scarsvoip.com. That's SCARSVOIP.com. This is David, KVEWG, saying 7-3. Close this UIP session and thanking you for your participation. This net is now closed and the server is returned to normal amateur use. This is KVEWG.